As Republicans work to help, among others, corporations, does that also help struggling individuals? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The House of Representatives has now approved its version of a $1.5 trillion tax cut, 227 Republican votes, zero from Democrats. Also, the Senate Finance Committee has approved another version of tax reform, one that is, at the moment, not easily compatible with the House version. These may be wins for conservative politics, but not necessarily conservative math. Here's Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago.
You know, across the board, we know the numbers just don't add up. They're all deficit-inducing instead of revenue-neutral. What that means is they're creating liabilities for future generations. So they're giving away what could be good and what could be progress to higher deficits, higher interest rates, and borrowing from the future. That doesn't get us where we need to go. If they're wrong on their numbers and they don't add up, we get automatic spending cuts across the board to things like Medicaid and Medicare. Now, those may need to be reformed, but we need to think about them, not just have something automatic go in before people are robbed of things that they've been counting on.
Both the House and Senate versions of the bill focus on cutting corporate taxes, including ways to put the U.S. more in line with the tax systems of other countries. It's a bid to get U.S.-based multinationals to bring profits back from abroad. But is a win for companies also a win for American standards of living? Douglas Holtz Aiken was policy director for John McCain when the Republican senator ran for president back in 2008.
I think the important thing here is a reform that gives those corporations' incentives to invest in the United States, innovate in the United States, and hire people in the United States.
I know it'll sound like a basic question, but if the money is repatriated under this system, if it's passed into law, I mean, what is the mechanism that it becomes investment that can lead to more jobs?
There are essentially two major mechanisms. Number one is the lower rate, which lowers the cost of capital and gives you an incentive to invest. There's also something known as expensing, allowing you to deduct the full cost of an investment right up front. Both of those have the impact of saying it will be cheaper to make investments and the rate of return on them will be higher. Historically, that has led to greater investment, and then greater investment turns into more productivity for workers, and that's always been the key to higher real wages.
But, I mean, you seem to have faith, though, that ultimately this accrues to regular people, that it won't, the money that comes back in whatever form won't just be used for stock buybacks.
In 2016, households headed by people who worked full year, full time, saw a zero increase in their real incomes. And that's something that has to change. It is directly the result of the fact that for the past 5 years, we've had essentially no productivity growth in the U.S. economy. And productivity comes from many things, but among them is new technologies, new business models, investments in the way of doing business. And so I think a reform that changes those incentives and has investment in the U.S. is going to be a route to better standard of living. Not the only route, but a route to a better standard of living for average Americans.
About a week ago, had we been talking, I might not have had the nerve to use the phrase trickle-down economics in front of you. But Gary Cohn, the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, told CNBC the other day that CEOs are very excited by the tax plan and that regular folks, he said, will also be excited about the tax plans because of the benefits from the business tax cuts will, quote, trickle down to regular folks. Is this term evolving now? Is it no longer a pejorative, you think?
I don't love the term. I won't pretend. It came from the Tax Reform Act of 1986, which it's important to emphasize was a completely different animal. In 1986, the reform raised taxes on corporations, diminished their incentives to invest, and then it did that so that they could cut tax rates on ordinary income for individuals. The top rate went from 50 to 28. All the rates went down. And the notion of trickle down was these marginal rate cuts on the individual side would somehow benefit people lower in the income distribution. We can go back and have a fight about whether that happened or not, but it's nothing like what's been contemplated here. I think of this as going directly at the problem.
All right. Douglas Holtz Aiken is head of the American Action Forum and ran the Congressional Budget Office when the 2003, not the 1986, but the 2003 tax cuts were passed into law. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Also today, we talked to another prominent economist, Columbia University's Jeffrey Sachs, who argues instead that the Republican tax plans will drive a destructive race to the bottom.
This is not reform. This is a heist.
If you missed that on the air, it's on demand at Marketplace.org or in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. get stuck in traffic in the days leading up to Thanksgiving here, at least you can look out at all the taillights and say to yourself, now that is an economic indicator. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Whether it's for pass the turkey wing grandma or a vacation getaway, AAA says 51 million people are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home over the coming days. Spokesperson Jeanette Casolano says about 1.5 million more travelers are heading out because the overall economy is better.
There's higher consumer confidence, and because of that, it's helping to fuel what we say is a stronger travel industry.
A resurgence in stocks, healthier home values, and a super low unemployment rate is boosting optimism, according to the Consumer Confidence Index at the University of Michigan. With people at least feeling like they've got money to burn, there are plenty of ways to throw money at Thanksgiving air travel problems, says Christine Sarkis with SmarterTraveler.com.
You can pay for a lounge day pass, and you can see if you can use either miles or money to upgrade your seat.
AAA says airfare hasn't been this cheap since 2013. So maybe it's worth splurging on the legroom. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.